How about if you had to invite someone to like a party, anyone throughout the world, who would, three people, who would they be? And why? So I'll go first. I'd invite Cleopatra, Elvis, and probably, it can be anyone, so is Cleopatra. And probably, Mother Teresa. And the reason for that is I really want to see if Cleopatra is as pretty as she's said to be. Elvis is just fun. And the third one would be because, you know, everyone wants to do something good and I'd like to hear from her myself. Who's next?
No. Benjamin.
Trotsky. I can't think of anyone else that I...
Why would you want to...
I'd really like to get inside his head. I mean, that's a fascinating mind. Maybe
the ice pick.
The ice pick, yeah.
Yeah, give me a minute.
Yeah, okay. I usually find it difficult with the third one, though.
I'm going to be very controversial. I'd like to invite Narendra Modi.
Okay.
Thomas Friedman.
Okay.
And Frida Kahlo.
And do you want to explain why?
Frida Kahlo, because I love her art. Narendra Modi, I think, will transform it in the next 10 years. Thomas Friedman, I just love the way he thinks.
Cool. Anyone else wants to go?
You're next. What three people, if you could have coffee with any three people, living or from history, with whom would it be? She suggested Cleopatra, Elvis, and Mother Teresa.
It could be anyone. Yeah.
And maybe somebody farther down, maybe the ice pick enthusiast?
No?
Okay, who else would like to take the microphone? Somebody farther down?
No.
Florence, do you want to... Napoleon?
No, I mean, is it to invite them for your own sake or for their own sake?
Yeah, you're just inviting them for like a party.
That's the thing, because I'd love to meet Gandhi and Mandela, and but I would feel like I'm wasting their time, so I would.
They have infinite time in the afterlife.
Yeah. For your own sake, I'm not sure. I think it needs thinking, actually. No one thinks about that, so.
Okay. Should we get started?
Can I pose a question?
Shoot.
Please. Please pass the microphone to him. It's next to you there. Sorry.
I have a computer. I have my laptop with me, and I'm totally unfamiliar with all the cyber stuff anyway, but I know how to send and receive email. And I've had LinkedIn account for a long time. I have no idea how to navigate it. Should I put my laptop up, or can we learn from the instructor without having a laptop in front of us?
You can. It's totally up to you. If you want to make changes while we're talking, please have a laptop on. I'm here even after the session, so if you need to get into any more details, happy to do that. Okay.
Okay, well, that seems like a seamless transition. No, that was not a plant, but he wants us to move straight into LinkedIn. So please go ahead, Deepa.
Okay, well, first of all, again, thank you very much for having me here. We do this all across the globe. So I have one piece of good news. At the end of the session, all of you will receive Executive Pro accounts. It's part of our global media outreach. It happens everywhere. So yay, and let's get started. That we actually have a LinkedIn for Journalist group on LinkedIn. Show of hands.
Yes.
Awesome. Are you part of it?
No.
Okay, might be a good place to start because there's always tips being posted. There are other journalists around. You can always reach out to them, expand your network, get information about stories that you're working on. There's no charge for it. It's a free group. And again, freedom of speech, everyone can talk in there. You can either get leads, get story ideas, or reach out to people in different parts of the world. It's a global group. I'm literally going to take like 2 minutes to talk a little bit about LinkedIn. I know all of you know this already, but I'm just going to delve into this like for 2 minutes, and then we'll get straight to the sessions. Most of you know LinkedIn, but you probably are not aware that we've been around since 2003. This is our 11th year. Up until 2008, we had a decent curve with member growth, but then suddenly it accelerated. And as you can see, around 2011, we had the acquisition of SlideShare, which further increased the number of members that we had on the site. At the end of 2013, we had about 277 million. Oh, sorry, I've gone ahead. 277 million members, and we're well over 300 million members right now. On the next slide is the monthly unique visits, and because of SlideShare, of course, the unique visits really went up high. Mobile traffic, as you're well aware, is well over 41% globally, which means globally people access the site through mobile devices like iPad, you know, their smartphones and other, like the web app that we have. So, before we get right into the whole social media space, in the social media space, I know a lot of people talk about the top three, which are Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. For us, there are other social media networks, which each of them have a different way you interact on it and a different set of activities that you would do, right? Like, I have all three accounts. On Facebook, I have my friends, my family, I upload pictures. You know, when I take pictures of cool countries I visit, that's uploaded on my Facebook. On LinkedIn, it's mostly about my professional context. It's very much about people I work with or my colleagues, you know, people I would recommend in a vendor-type situation. So there's a difference between spending time and investing your time to further your career. We're solely focused on the professional. This is actually basis a TNS study that we did, and I'm happy to share that study with you later as well. So coming down to today's agenda, we're going to talk a little bit about optimizing your profile. Then how would we share updates on the homepage and why? And basically, how to gain a little bit of insights and knowledge on the platform. With that, I can do this in a PowerPoint way, and I can also do this through my actually logging into my profile. What would you prefer? Sounds great. Okay, I'm going to be right there. No, not this. All right, so this is my LinkedIn profile, and I know that most of you already are very familiar with the how to edit your profile and your homepage. So we're going to go about this the other way around. We're going to start directly with the top part of the navigation bar and then move on to the easier parts. And so for this, I'm going to go hover on my image or on my name right on the right-hand side corner and go down to settings and click on review. Basically, this page is going to tell you about the settings that you have on your LinkedIn profile, which allows you to do exactly whatever you want with your profile. How much visibility do you want? Do you want to share your updates with people? Do you want other connections to see who you're connected to? All of that. This part is actually just giving you an overview of the type of account you have. And if you have a premium account, which you will at the end of today, then you can take the premium accounts features tour. Some of the privacy controls that I will delve into, I'm not going to go into each one of them, but one of the things that you should definitely look at is, I don't know, how many of you have heard this, that you recommended one person and you got like 20 recommendation requests? or you went and uploaded one thing and you got suddenly requests from people you didn't know. So if there's something that you're doing, even editing your profile, because you're going to be making a lot of changes, it's a good idea to turn off your activity broadcast and then turning it right back on again once you're done with the activity that you don't want other people to know. So let's switch on the activity broadcast. That way people can see what I'm doing on the network. The second thing that I would definitely recommend is who can see your connections. Now, as journalists, your connections are your, like, it's gold, right? People that you've already worked with in the past. If you want to kind of protect your connections from your other connections, then one way to do that is to click on this and make your connections available only to you. So only you can see your connections, other people can't. By default, other people can see who you're connected to. So you can change that, it's up to you. I'm absolutely fine if you want to just, you know, start up your laptop and start making changes as well.
Where was this page again? I'm sorry, I missed that.
Right here.
But then...
Privacy and settings.
Okay.
Any questions so far? Okay, so basically these are all your profile settings. You can also have a one-time integration with Twitter, and you can do that right here by clicking on Manage Your Twitter Account. And then a couple of other things that I would definitely encourage you to try on later. The other thing I'm going to look at is communications, and this basically helps you decide whether you want LinkedIn to send you emails or not at all. This way, I can actually select on the frequency of emails and decide that, oh, do I want messages from other members? Like, do I want to get an email every time someone sends me an invitation to connect? If that's a yes, you can leave it as B, or you can just say, don't send me an email about this. I will log into my LinkedIn profile and I will check it out. Yes?
Is it possible to have a set response when you get these invitations to join groups? I'm not that much of a Groucho guy, but I am sometimes. I don't want all these invitations.
Got it.
I'm to join groups, that is. Can you have a response? Thank you ever so much. Just send me an email. Is it possible to just say thank you so much for your kind invitation? Just send me an email. Is that possible?
I actually have created a Google Doc where I have a standard set of responses, and I just copy-paste from that. There is no way to send an auto response on this, but what you can do is you can actually go to the group digests and set how you want emails coming to you from LinkedIn about the group digests. We do recommend that people that you haven't met with before, ideally not wonderful to connect with them unless it's, you know, if you've, anyone you're connected to, people assume that you know them and you've worked with them. So it's going to affect your overall network, right? It's going to affect the kind of inputs you get from your network. And I'm going to get into this in a little bit, because everything LinkedIn sends you, which includes your homepage, your news that we're sending you, is based on your network as well, because there's a lot of data being pulled with an algorithm to get the information to you that would be relevant to you. So that's one of the reasons, and I'm glad to hear you say, no, you're not grouchy, you're just selective about your network. And that's a good thing.
Just one thing. Being journalists, it's pretty much our job to connect with people that we don't know.
Yeah.
I'm certainly not boasting, but of my 1,600 or so connections, I'd be surprised if I know 50 of them.
Yeah.
Personally. And it's a totally different thing from business networking, is we are paid to go find people that we don't know.
Yeah.
And I use LinkedIn all the time, don't get me wrong. I think it's been an absolute boon professionally. But, yeah, the problem is that the limited connectivity you offer, and I pay for the premium account, and, God, I'd love 100 in-mails instead of 12 or whatever I get a month.
Okay. I do realize it's your job to connect with people, but the fact that you said you have 1,700 odd connections is actually being very discerning about your network. I have met LinkedIn open networkers out there who are connected to over, 7,000 people. That's not going to add any value. So that's actually a good thing. I did say that you will connect with people who you don't know initially, but you're connecting with them with a business reason. And your reason is to get the story. And we're going to get into how you can find interesting people as well. Any other questions? Okay, so I'm just going to move on to the next one. Here you can choose some of the settings for groups and company pages. The minute we go into groups and company pages a little bit more, I'll talk more about this. And these are basically your account settings where you can select, you know, if you want your photo and the visibility of your photo to people who are not logged into the network and all of that. So again, I'm not going to go into each and every one of these because I would encourage you to, you know, choose and select what you would be interested in. But the ones that would be relevant would be protecting your connections and the activity broadcast. With that, we're going to move to the next one, which is very simple. This is your how to add more connections, and this is basically importing your address book from different... So if I click on it, so it's giving me the option to either import my address book from Outlook or from Hotmail, Gmail, and any other email that you might have. Now, you might be using your professional accounts a lot, but I do know that a lot of journalists that I'm connected to use their Gmail accounts a lot. So you might have received emails from other sources, and this is one way to ensure that you get all those connections on your LinkedIn network. So let's face it, right? The connection you have today might be going somewhere else in a couple of years or soon. And you want to be connected to them over a period of time based on where they go next, and you never know what they're going to do and could be of interest to your story. So that's addressing your importing your address book. The next one is the notifications, and this is very simple. It's just telling you, you know, if you shared an update, how many people liked your update, how many people, you know, clicked on it, and all of that. This is basically showing me LinkedIn's update because I'm the admin to the LinkedIn company group. But otherwise, it would show me my updates and how people are reacting to what updates I make. Yeah.
Like people, notifications to join, but I don't recall sort of requesting that. Obviously, I pressed the wrong button or what have you. So when you import, like let's say you import all your addresses to Gmail, that's not going to just start firing off.
No, and I'm going to show you exactly how this works. So let's click on.
Good.
I know what you're saying. I'm just going to click on Gmail and say continue.
Thank you.
You're right, we don't send any emails unless you've authorized us to do so. Huh. Okay, turns out there was a problem. Let's try another. Okay, let me try my Outlook. So once it gets all your, pulls out your contacts, and then it says, amongst all these people, how many do you want to connect to? How many do you want to send a notification to connect? And you can actually click all of them, or you can skip that step. It's basically up to you. You can sync your address book, and then choose not to invite anyone at all. Bear with me, it's loading results. There you go. So it's actually basically saying, do you want to send an invite to all of these people? And obviously all of these people have actually sent me emails, right? I can actually select all or just say skip the step. Whoops. Again, same thing. You can just click out the ones you don't want to send an invite to, or just uncheck this, and then select the few people you want to send an invite to. Or just skip the step. Cool. All right, so moving on to the next point, which is, this is your message box. You obviously are aware of this. You can, you know, delete messages, reply to messages, send messages to your connections, all of that. And with this, we're gonna come to a really cool part. Give me any keyword. No? All right. Mumbai is actually a location, so I'm gonna just make this fun, and I'm gonna choose the keyword shoes. And I'm saying, I want to look for people located anywhere in the world who have shoes in their profile, and how am I connected to them, right? And say search. And the reason it's giving me, all right, so we have about 103,000 odd results with people who've mentioned shoes in their network. Out of this, there are two people who've mentioned shoes in their profile in my first degree connection. And as you can tell, second degree and third. Just to explain this a little bit, first degree connection is people I'm actually connected to already. So I'm connected to Haley, and she's in my first degree. If she's connected to you, you're in my second degree network. And whoever you're connected to is in my third degree network. So I can even search people in the third degree network who've mentioned shoes in their profile. Now here's where it gets interesting. I can choose by location, and like you said, Mumbai, let's look for Mumbai. It's not here, so I can just add it. Interesting. Neither do I. Oh, because it says United States, so. And then, oh, there you go. So we have about 1,000 odd people who've mentioned shoes in their profile in Mumbai, in India. Now here, the rest of the filters are even more interesting. Now, as journalists, you know, if someone's already working at Walmart, and you want to talk to them about a story, they're not really going to tell you much. They're going to get you to speak to someone like me. But someone who's already worked at Walmart is now working somewhere else, might be open to talk a little bit about the culture or the design ideas or just like the innovation that's happening that they've worked in the past. So I can choose past company. And as you can tell, it's already kind of filtering the kind of companies that exist. And I can say, okay, I'm looking for people who used to work in metro companies and have nonprofit interests. That's also a filter. Have over 10 years of experience. And as you can see, all of this is getting drilled down while we're clicking on the filters. So from 103,000 odd results, you're down to 7 right now. So you can even choose function, right? Like I'm looking at someone, if you were doing a story on how the actual design or fabrication works, you could look for someone in production and not in sales. So even that filter exists by function of their work. Or seniority level, like you're looking to speak to a CXO. Then you can just look at the seniority level and click on CXO. Right? Like there's a VP, there's a director, all of that. Or if it's a Fortune 500 company, all these filters. Now, let's say you usually write on the tech beat. Imagine the kind of search parameters you could filter into this search if you were writing on, let's say, big data. You could use the keyword big data and then do all the kind of precise filtering to find the people that you need to speak to. And let's say you're doing this on a Friday evening. You're not going to reach out to this person on a Friday evening because guess what? You want to go home. You can actually save the search by clicking right here and have this sent to you either weekly or daily or never. You can actually choose to come back and look at your search.
Will it automatically update to the next week?
Yes.
Okay.
Any questions on this?
I'm not sure I followed that. What did you? I'm not sure I followed the last step you explained.
Oh yeah.
About sending later. Or...
So all you have to do is just to ensure everyone knows the question. She wants to know what the last step was to ensure that it gets sent to her weekly. So all you have to do is click on Save Search. And over here in the alert, you can either have it sent to you daily, weekly, monthly, or never, in which case you can come back and check it out whenever you want.
So basically the search keeps going on?
No, every time it's going to send it to you, it'll reload the search and send it to you. So anyone relevant to you will pop up in your inbox.
So does this function only happen in
the premium? No, this function is available for everybody. Some of the filters are available for premium members, but you're going to have premium accounts now.
So if I want to search a company which I used to work for and I look for all the previous colleagues in certain functions, I can do that?
That is actually in the company pages, but you can do that too. What you have to do is, instead of the keywords, you would probably put the company name, which is right here. That's title. Company name over here, and do the search, and then you can click on it. But there's an easier way to do that, and we'll get into that as well. But yes, you can do that with the advanced people search.
Is your search traced? Because I find it a bit strange. Sometimes I see like 250 people checked your profile or whatever. And you don't always want people to know what you are searching at the moment?
No, your search is only available to you.
Okay.
It's not traceable. 250 people probably searched your profile because of some update you made or some, I don't know, article that was published.
Okay.
It could be
but
them
people
searching
would not,
for you.
There is no way for people to know what or who you're searching?
There isn't any way for people to know.
Because I saw that with premium, you would know who was looking for, who was checking
who
your profile.
Who saw your profile, yes.
Yeah. Okay, but not your
not
search.
Who you
not
you're
your
searching
activity.
For, no.
Okay, thank you.
When I visit your profile page, that actually gets logged in, and then you can see that, but... If I'm searching, like making a search like this, that is only available to you, as in to me. Yeah.
I want to know, you mentioned about like leaving a footprint when you visit somebody's homepage. So I wonder what has a good thing about it and downside about it.
So there are several ways to look at it. I think the good thing is you know exactly why people are looking for you. Sometimes if you see some random people looking for you, in your case, it might be a lot of people trying to look for, to send stories to you. It could be because of a story that people read and then looked for you online. But I don't think of any downside to it. But if you don't want it, you can choose to be anonymous in your searches.
But, so,
you know,
there's a function of that I can choose to be anonymous? Like
yes.
Or like you are belong to a certain group and when you show like how would you think about that action?
Well yes, you can be anonymous in when you're looking at people's this thing, but I guess even a lot of their information will be anonymous to you at that point. The only minus side to that is in your profession you want to be found. If people have a story for you, it's useful if people can find you easily.
Can you actually block anonymous people to check you? Because
you can be completely anonymous if you want.
No, not you being anonymous, but not wanting anonymous people to check your profile. Because that would make sense in a way. You think, well, if you want to check my profile, tell me who you are.
So when we go to the profile settings, editing your profile, I'll actually show you how you can choose to be completely invisible.
Okay. It's a bit different, but okay, we'll discuss it later.
Okay. Any further questions on this point? No? Okay. So moving on, this is the advanced people search. Similarly, now this search button is unified, so when you start typing over here, it's going to start asking you what exactly are you looking for. So if I were to put in LinkedIn, for instance, it's asking me, am I looking for people on LinkedIn, or am I looking for the company page? Or the showcase pages. I don't know if you can see. Oh, yeah, you can see this. you know, or any of the places where LinkedIn is mentioned. So, no, I'm not looking for any of this, but I will tell you there is a drop down next to the advanced, next to the search button. The drop down will let you search jobs, it will let you search for company pages, it will let you search for groups, it will let you search for universities, which was a recent launch, it will let you search for influencer posts. So we have about 500 odd influencers across the globe who are actually posting long form on LinkedIn. So you can actually search for their posts. Now let's say if you were doing a story on, I don't know, airlines, and you wanted to get, you know, Richard Branson's view on something that you were reporting about, you could actually search influencer posts, type in the keyword, and see if it pulls out any of the posts from influencers as well. It's just adding more research to your story. And then, of course, you can search your inbox. So let's go into this one by one. I don't know how many of you know this. I know that you know there is jobs, so you can apply to jobs, post jobs, manage jobs. But how many of you know the advanced job search on LinkedIn? So let's go to the jobs homepage. Because even if you were working for New York Times, and if let's say you wanted to be in Mumbai, for instance, you could actually search company name New York Times and location Mumbai. How many jobs are open? Right? So we're on the jobs homepage. Click on the advanced search. Click on more options. And basically, you can filter by all of this. Let's say I'm looking for jobs in LinkedIn in Hong Kong. And I hit search. Now, I haven't put any keyword here, so it's giving me all the job posts, job opportunities that are open, but I can even put in either a title search or a keyword search for jobs. So this is another way to, you know, advance your career to see if you want to move somewhere else. Yes. So we have three lines of business. One is talent solutions, one is marketing solutions, and one is premium subscriptions. The first part, talent solutions, part of our portfolio has jobs, which companies pay for to post on LinkedIn. Oh, so one of our flagship products is the LinkedIn Recruiter. Right here, did you see the recruiter account? I can give you a demo of the recruiter after if you want. But there's quite a few products. We have Talent Direct, we have Talent Pipeline. It's a whole suite, and to get more information on that right away, you can just go to business.linkedin.com and it has all the details right there. I'll take you there in a bit. Is that okay? Cool. Okay, so this was the advanced job search. Now, if you drill down, next is company pages, and I'm putting in LinkedIn. So it's already giving me, next to the companies, the first one is LinkedIn, and I go on the company page. Now, you had asked me about finding people from your old company. You could just go to the company page, and over here it shows me how I'm connected to people at LinkedIn. Who are the people I'm connected to? And it'll also show me other people I'm not connected to. Now, there's a little button here. Because I'm already following LinkedIn company page, it's showing, you know, giving me the option to unfollow. But if I wasn't following, there's a yellow button there which says follow. If you were, you would see this even on the LinkedIn for Journalists. There's a couple of people who are following people on, you know, checking out people's profile, and actually saw them change jobs before it was officially announced. So a Googler moved on to Spotify and things like that. So these were journalists who just followed the certain companies and saw the updates coming in that so-and-so just joined LinkedIn, you know, Spotify or whatever. So if you're following either the internet beat, tech beat, you know, pharmaceutical beat, then it might be useful, or even financial, right? It might be useful to follow like the top 10 finance companies. So you keep getting these updates on your homepage, and you can glean some information over a period of time. And this is the insights bit that I was talking about. So a little bit more about the company pages. It kind of shows you how you're connected to the company that you're looking at. all these pages are dynamically rendered. What I mean by that is based on how you're logged in and based on your profile, it will render some information to you. I can choose that an engineer sees different things on LinkedIn than a sales professional, for instance. And then also other company information is right here. As you can see, there are a couple of affiliated company pages. And these are just updates that we are making on the LinkedIn company page. Now that's really another fun part, and I'm just going to do a quick demo. I can actually, because I'm the admin of LinkedIn company page, I can actually share an update with followers, but I can choose to target the follower audience. So imagine creating a company page and then choosing to target what you want to say to them to, let's say, by either function. So you can choose what you want to send out to just engineering, or you can choose that I want to say this to people in Asia and Hong Kong, and then set the audience. Or not send it at all either. The second tab is the careers tab, and this is a fully paid tab. Now the company page is free, but the careers tab is paid, and the reason for this again is you can choose to have people, you know, your company, and this is part of our talent solutions that you asked about. People, or actually companies, choose to have a presence on LinkedIn because guess what, a lot of employees are already there on LinkedIn. They can leverage their employees as ambassadors of the company, and then also the jobs are targeted based on either geography or however else you choose. And then again, the messaging also changes based on where you're located and what you want to see. Now, people in India will probably see Nishant Rao, who's the country manager, in a video, whereas here I'm seeing Mike Gamson because I'm logging in from Hong Kong right now. Some things that are free with this page is also analytics on how your updates are doing, and it kind of shows you exactly which one of them was sponsored, which one wasn't sponsored, what is the reach, how many likes did you get, how many comments, and you know, you can just basically increase your follower base. From a journalist point of view, I think the only reason you might want to follow this is to understand people movement and probably get an idea before it's actually out there or announced by the company. I think Apple had started acquiring a lot of people, design people in China. And that was something that the Wall Street Journal covered based on the LinkedIn research. So that's company pages. The next one is groups. Now, I know I don't need to get too much into groups. It's almost like attending a conference, right? You walk up to a group of people, you listen into their conversation, you like the conversation. Sorry, you were saying? There used to be a products and services tab. We sunset that. We now have showcase pages. No, so how it works is, let me show you. This is the LinkedIn showcase page. I know Jeff and our overall company talks a lot about the economic graph, and that is the vision of the company. That is what we're striving for. We're trying to, you know, create economic opportunity globally. And so it makes sense to have a separate page where we can talk about things that are relevant to make the economic graph a reality. A lot of them already exist. And so this is the page that we've created, which is a showcase page, instead of actually having this on our company page where you could dilute the message a little bit and confuse people. So here we have like other cool, interesting stuff happening, which is, you know, we researched about globally quite a few CEOs to just figure out what they thought of the economic outlook of different countries and which countries are, you know, growing, which ones seem to be decelerating and all of that. So that data is in here, along with our overall vision, videos, whatever you want.
And do you showcase pages for our new
research? Yeah. I just searched for it.
Okay.
Okay, so that was the company pages. So one really cool thing about the company page that I wanted to show you, especially for the Talent Solutions benefit, is you can actually choose, like I said, they're dynamically rendered pages. I can actually choose how an engineering page will look versus how people coming in from Europe will look. Now, the reason this is relevant is benefits in Europe might be different than benefits in India. And you still, don't laugh, it's true. We all know it. So it just makes sense to showcase different things that might be of use to the people coming in and reading before they join the company. And that's one of the reasons why this business line is doing really, really well. You can choose up to, I think, 40 or like 25 odd new audiences that you want to render a certain page to. With that, we were on groups. And groups is like, you know, you walk into a conference, you meet a few people, you listen to their conversation, you enjoy the conversation, you listen more, perhaps contribute, and if you don't, you move on. That's exactly how groups are, even here. I have been part of some groups where initially the conversations were interesting, and over a period of time, it just started becoming all about, I don't know, either promotions or, you know, and I just, it's up to you. You can choose to leave the group. And
how do you leave their mess?
Oh, it's easy. So I can actually just go to groups. And so, okay, hold on. Where is my group? These are not the ones I'm already part of. Oh no. My groups. So let's say the Harvard Business Review. I can actually go to, where is the leave? And in my settings, I can leave the group. I'm sorry, where did you see it? Oh, there you go. Thank you for that. We keep changing things. Yeah, I mean, I've done that quite a bit. I used to be part of like 42 odd groups, and then I was just like, okay, this is noise and I'm not getting any value, and I just left the groups I was not getting value from.
Is this LinkedIn, or is it the people who run, is it the groups who run themselves?
The groups are run themselves. You could start a group just for this set of people and run it. And as far as people see value, they're going to be a part of it.
But the way that it always descends into spam and people selling you steel billets or something.
Yeah.
It's because it's not properly managed by the people who run it.
Yes. Yes.
There's nothing LinkedIn can do.
Well, we're not the owners of that group, so it's not fair for us to step in and say this can't be done.
Right.
Usually the group is self-moderated, or there are like closed groups, which, like, for example, in India, we actually have the CMO roundtable, which was run by Jesse Paul, who was the CMO for Wipro. It's one of the top IT companies in India. And she actually created this group to talk about the best practices in marketing. She would selectively add only the marketers that she had worked with. And then the kind of conversations that you can imagine, it was a closed group. It wasn't visible for people outside. But they got a lot of value out of it. She even hired her North America marketing head from that group. It was a byproduct, but I mean, that's the kind of level of conversations they were having. So it's like you said, it's dependent on the people running the group. Okay, with that, we're done with groups. Real quick, next is university. So is there any particular university you want to check on? How many of you are in touch with people you studied with? Yeah? Awesome. Since you're not telling me a university name, I'm just going to put in my university. This is my school. I can choose to follow it if I want to, but this is the really cool cool part. It's telling me what the alumni in my school are doing. Where are they working now? What do they do? Which function are they a part of? I can go into more detail through the alumni tool as well, which is in Connections by Find Alumni. But universities, I mean, this is another way to figure out a little bit more about the university before you plan to apply there, because you could actually just look at the people who are teaching there, reach out to them, because it's not contact us at kellogg.com or whatever, right? It's contact us at a person who's mentioned there. You know, it's a person you're reaching out to. So this was a recent addition about, I think, 9 months ago we added the university pages. With that, we're done with the top part. I know you need a breather. So do you have any questions? Otherwise, we'll go right into the lower part of the menu bar. How are you doing?
Well, so just coming back to the end, I think the most practical part here is you're trying to find somebody in an obscure area. So if you could just, I think, for the benefit of people who aren't keeping up, or like me, who don't really use this as much as we should, let's pick just the hypothetical subject.
Sure.
Why don't we do...
Weapons.
Weapons?
No, weapons said... is too narrow. Why don't we say... nuclear reactors, India.
Okay.
So we would choose a country.
Oh, sorry, hold on. No, so
and
your topic would be generic, right? So you're talking about nuclear reactors.
Yes.
So
keywords, nuclear reactors, say you're looking at power. And you.
Oh, sorry. Nuclear. And then this is just generic. Already location has been...
So we change color of the country. Let's say it's Malaysia. No, China, you can't get too many. Malaysia, which has been talking about building its first reactor. Okay, so there you're getting...
21
now,
results.
When it says connect, you don't necessarily want to connect to somebody.
Oh, yeah.
You want to reach them to do an interview.
Yeah, so...
So send email. Is that going to appear in their email box? Or if they've checked that they don't want email... Are you not going to reach them by sending in there? How are they?
So there's a bunch of things you can do. Right next to the connect button, there is a save option where you just save that particular profile in your connections or in your contact list as someone who's interesting. You haven't reached out to them. You haven't checked out their profile yet. They've just appeared in the search. You can also send them an email to just say, hey, you know what, I'm writing a story, would you be interested in participating? You could actually share their profile with someone else who you're delegating your research to, or you can find references of this person. By references, I mean, let's say you know someone else at LinkedIn, and I mention, you're looking at my profile, and I mention that I've worked at LinkedIn from so-and-so time to so-and-so time. You can actually find people in your network who would know me during that time. So you can ask them questions. Did she really work there, or is she just, you know, making this up?
But email, I mean, people tend to be seeing their email much more often because it may be on a push feed for their cell phones and so forth. Is email only going to their LinkedIn account, so they're not going to see it until next time they open their LinkedIn account? Or is it?
No, it depends on their settings.
Yeah.
He's right. So, like I first said, right, the... If you choose that you don't want any emails or requests coming to you in your settings page, in the communications bit, then they won't see it unless they log in.
I mean, I tried to email only a couple of times and I didn't get any answers.
If
what is your
like 8 connections or something, don't waste an email because they obviously have to use it. But if anyone would, I've never not had a reply from someone with like 500 plus connections. They're obviously pretty keen LinkedIn users and they usually, even if it's just to say, sorry, I can't help you, I'm not allowed to talk about that. They will reply.
Yeah, and if someone doesn't open your email, it gets credited right back to you.
Okay.
If they open it and choose not to respond, then you've lost that email.
Sorry, can I have a search question?
Sure.
Really quickly. My former colleague raised one. Say I'm looking for somebody I often look for as a lawyer, and if I want to find a lawyer, and in, say, India, for example, and I go, say, and we're talking about infrastructure lawyers, so I want to find an infrastructure lawyer in India, so I can infrastructure, in the keyword, India as the location, but lawyers are under at least two categories of fields. They could be under legal services, and they could be under law practice. So how do I don't think I can select more than one field at one time.
Probably not. So let's say lawyer. And you wanted India?
Yeah, or anyway, really.
And let's say I hit search. Usually their tagline should mention this. And it kind of does. But I'm sure there must be something in the function.
Where is the industry? Yeah. I want to select more than one industry. I want to select.
There you go.
Legal?
Yeah.
And I think there's another one called law practice. So I can select, I can help you.
Yes.
The other one is more abstract.
Go on.
A CPA at Standard Chartered Bank. Now, that's not too bad, except some people fill it in as Stand Chart, some people fill it in as Standard Chart with no space, Standard Chart with lowercase, they spell it wrong. Is there a, what would really be handy is if it could somehow an algorithm could pick up those, you know, do you mean HSBC, do you mean Hong Kong or Shanghai Bank? It's a little bit unforgiving for spelling errors and different ways of expressing companies. Is it McKinsey? Is it McKinsey and Co?
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
And yeah, I get a little finicky when people do that too, but you can actually, here you go. You can just put in HSBC and it's saying, are you looking for people who work at HSBC?
Yeah,
but you'll have to probably...
Currently, we're saying currently work at HSBC.
Yeah.
You'll pick up the people who say Hong Kong and Shanghai Bank.
No, it won't. Yeah. You'll probably have to do two searches and have them sent to you.
Yeah.
Or some.
Hong Kong.
Hopefully not.
Yeah.
One hopes.
It happens.
Usually, with the name of the company, you have the company logo if there's a company page associated with it, and if it's HSBC or McKinsey, and I'm working at LinkedIn, I want LinkedIn to show LinkedIn as a logo next to my profile. Then I will usually correct it, because when you're inputting it, it actually asks, do you mean HSBC? But that's individual based. If I still choose to write LinkedIn with L not in caps and space in it, then yeah, I won't appear in the results.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
Is there any way
we have we have a team working at the back end anyways for data standardization, and they work on this extensively.
I have about 50 suggestions. Where do I send them to
you? Oh, yeah, you can actually send them directly. There's
sorry,
feedback.
I use it a lot. I'm sorry to be so noisy, but I use it like 20 times a day.
So if you just scroll down, there is feedback that you can share. How did I go to my profile? Oh, well. Yeah, my profile is not going to help. Let's go to a smaller... Yeah, this works. Right, so... Oh, come on. That's not helping either. I'm looking for a smaller page so I don't have to scroll down because it's at the bottom. Hold on. Okay, here we go. And then send feedback. Sir?
Hi.
Send feedback right here.
Oh, gotcha.
And then it'll ask you if you have feedback for us or if you need help and take you to the right place. So if I were to click on send us feedback, my idea is and just send away.
Hang on, that will go to nowhere in particular.
Oh, no, we have... our CS team looking into it, and they send it to the product team.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I have a relevant question. So, thank you. So there's a like skills page.
Yes.
And sometimes, for example. Treasury, and some people write it as treasury management.
Yeah.
So when you do a people search, if you search treasury, will it automatically show like a treasurer, treasury management, etc.
Yes, so when you're putting in your skills or adding skills to your profile, it'll actually ask you, are you looking for treasury? Are you looking for treasury management? Are you looking to add so-and-so skill? And so I get to choose as a person what skill I want to add. So for example, if I were to put corporate, it asks me relations, communications, or if I just put in communication, it asks me marketing communications, just communications, corporate communications, and I get to choose as a person which skill I want to add to my profile.
So the question is, when somebody is looking for someone with a particular skill, but that skill can be phrased as A, B, C, D, different ways. So how would people possibly search a skill with four different names?
Through the recruiter search. I mean, I don't know if you would look for skills when you're doing a story, but when you're hiring for someone, then of course skills come into play. And at that point, the recruiter search actually looks for all the options and then asks you which one you're looking for. I can do the demo for you later. All right, so do we have any questions or should we just go into the fun part of the session now?
I have a question.
Okay.
Everybody says that to be really effective on LinkedIn, you need to have 500 plus connections.
Actually, this is also in our user policy, 50 plus is good. That's when the network will start giving you value.
Just out of curiosity, why is it that when you have over 500, it just say 500 plus and not the actual number?
Because we are competitive by nature, all humans are. If I say I have 7,000 and someone else has just 2, they're going to be like, oh, got to get to 7,000 now.
Okay.
And the whole idea is not to be competitive, right? It's just like, who are the people that are most relevant to you for professional advancement, development, whatever you need from a work point of view, you need to be able to get in, find that person, get your work done, and get out.
A lot of news organizations have begun encouraging people to tweet or otherwise distribute by social media links for the articles that their news organization have posted. Now, what would be the effective way for people to post those to their page, or what would it be?
So, just like you would use the different social networks, that's exactly the strategy for every network would differ, right? What would be of interest on LinkedIn would be any news articles that are relevant to your company, any job opportunities, because people are always looking out for those, any updates that's relevant to your industry. These are things that people will find value with on LinkedIn. But, for example, if there's an article in Fortune, you might want to put that up on LinkedIn versus a Facebook. But there's a celebration for FCC where everyone's, having a drink. That's something you'd put up on the FCC Facebook page.
So where would we put on our LinkedIn page if you wanted to just sort of put important newspaper article links?
Oh, and that's the perfect segue into editing your profile. I'm going to go into edit profile. All of you are journalists. All of you get published all the time. Anything that's not already on your profile will be on the right-hand side over here as things that are recommended for you, and I bet you whoever hasn't added publications to your profile, it will be there. If I scroll down, because I've already added publications, this is what it looks like. This is the little logo, this is the publication. Hi.
okay, that's great, but I want to go further with Keith's line of questioning. Let's say we have an event
mm-hmm.
that we want to promote.
Yeah.
And we have, let's say, a specific list of people, our proprietorial list, that we've been using for a long time.
Okay.
And let's say the list is 30,000 people around the world.
Yeah.
Are you saying that we can leapfrog in, put this in, and send it out via LinkedIn?
If you ask me how I would do it,
I would just create... Is it possible?
It is. I would just create a group with the 30,000 people and just post a discussion point over there saying, here's what's happening. Are you going to be available for it if it's an event?
But it has to be only received by somebody, let's say, in Tierra del Fuego or Mexico City, if they're on LinkedIn. Let's say we have their email. If they don't have a LinkedIn account, they don't get it. Is that what you're saying?
That is correct. But you can invite them on LinkedIn, I hope.
Okay, but I'm still understanding where...
Also, I don't even see publications on my profile. Okay, hold on. Are you on your edit profile?
Yes.
Okay.
Just one second.
Sorry. So you get back.
That's not it. You're just on your profile. Go to your edit. Oh, I see it. So on that note, is publications on
everyone's edit profile? Yes, it is. So all you have to do is click on Add. I'm going to show you how simple this is. Title, publisher, date. If there's another, you can add a URL if you want to. If it's a magazine which doesn't have an online thing, then you don't have to add the URL. If there's another author who's contributing, you can add the author's name. And you can even reorder the preferences, like who is the main contributor and who was the supporting contributor. A little description if you want, and click on save, and it's on your profile. It's that simple.
So a good way to promote your own work too.
Also promote your own work, but more importantly, if I'm looking to send you a story, it doesn't make any sense for me to send you a real estate story if you're writing on tech. So it's a good way for people to know what they should be reaching out to you for, and some of your work. Absolutely. I would actually, that's on your homepage, and we'll get there in just a second.
You, I got the impression that's what you were, yes, you're talking about, more immediate stuff rather than, say, a book you wrote 2 years ago.
Yes.
Well, it would help to even have a couple of articles in the publication list,
yes, sure. Yes.
At least the recent ones, because that way when people come to your profile, they see, yeah. Well, no, there are, you know, corporate communications people are always looking at profiles for journalists. We want to know what kind of stuff you write about.
Yep.
There are other people just learning to be journalists, and they would want to know how you're writing.
There's a lot of those.
Yes, there are.
And I always help them.
Okay, so this is as simple as this. And a couple of things on your profile, like I had said, especially when you come to edit profile, one thing for sure is to edit your public profile URL. Because otherwise this is a system-generated URL, all you have to do is click on this little link. Whenever it opens, I'll show you what it means. But basically, you can put first name, last name, which is what it has now come to. Ta-ta-da, why won't this work? I'm going to try and reload. Sure. Well, a professional profile is always useful. There are different definitions of professional. What would be professional in a financial world would be different from a media world. But overall, I wouldn't say put up a picture of you partying with a beer in your hand. Just something that does show your personality, but formal. So in your, the minute you click on that link, you have this thing called Customize Your Public Profile URL. Click on that. Usually we suggest first name, last name, or last name, first name. This also helps with SEO. And you had asked about how to be completely invisible. I can choose, I don't want people to see my picture if they're not logged into LinkedIn and if they're just searching for me, or I don't want them to see my current position or my past position. Basically, make my profile invisible to everyone. But the whole point of being on LinkedIn is to connect and be found. So I say, yeah, people can see what I look like. And, you know, I'm okay to show my current positions. I don't want them to see the details. And as you're doing this, it's actually auto-populating and saving, right? So I'm okay with them seeing my skills. But, you know, this is what it's going to look like. It looks kind of tacky to just list it out there. So I'll take it out. But I'm okay with them seeing my publications And in the case of a journalist, this is relevant when people are searching for you. And then this is getting saved as you're doing it. We're done. We can go back to edit profile, and it'll be saved. Yes.
Is the company logo, just, you know, if you just at a glance you can just go yep.
Yeah.
How do you put that onto in there?
So the minute I add, let's say I click on add a position.
Yeah.
And I put in the company name, LinkedIn. I have not put the right, you know, LS caps, IS caps, I have not put that in. But the minute I do this, it's actually giving me the option to choose it.
Okay.
And this is happening to every single one who's adding a new position. So the minute you get this and you see the LinkedIn logo next to your WorkX, you're like, oh, is this possible for the rest of my positions? And you go and edit those too. Hi.
Back to the publications. If you tried to post a status, tried to post one of your stories as a status and it was censored by LinkedIn, what happens if you try to put it in your publications record?
You can put it. Those are not dependent on each other.
Okay, so it won't get your profile censored?
No.
Okay.
No.
Just checking. Because my publication, we posted a story about Tiananmen Square on Wednesday, and then we got an email saying your post has been censored by LinkedIn. And then I was wondering if I wanted to put that in our publications, would that make then my whole profile censored?
You know, I would be tone deaf to believe there wouldn't be any question about this. Yes. There is censorship, and I'm happy to address all these questions. There has been censorship for certain content in China. We are aware of that. We did erroneously send out 3 messages to Hong Kong journalists where their messages were censored, but actually they were censored only in China, not to the rest of the world.
Right.
So I can see that message, or I can see that update, but people in China can't.
Would my, if I put that in my publications list in my profile, would my profile then get censored in China?
Or not blocked your profile, in China? The content will get
just
censored.
Just that story on my profile page?
Yes.
It can selectively do that?
Yes.
Okay. Huh.
Any other questions? Okay, with that, let's quickly go to, how many of you know that you can now post rich media on your profile? Show of hands. No? I can actually post either slideshare links or like actual presentations on my profile. I can post videos. I can post pictures. So any cool graphics that you want added to your profile can be done through the edit profile links now by just clicking on... let me cancel this. By just clicking on this. I can add a video, I can add an image, a document, or a presentation. So as you know, these are images, but this is a presentation. This is a video. The next is a video. This is actually a presentation which I can just click and people can just see this on my profile. So it actually adds, like let's say you presented at IABC sometime. It might be useful to have that presentation on your profile so people know what you spoke about at that event. So that's rich media on your profile. And now we come to the home page. Real quick. This is where you would share your update of when you publish, you know, like he said, your thoughts on so-and-so, and then hit share. Because I've integrated Twitter, I can actually choose to share it with LinkedIn as well as on my Twitter handle. Or I can say, oh, you know what, I just want this to be on LinkedIn. And then it will stay on LinkedIn and not go to Twitter. It's up to you. A couple of things, your network update stream can be customized. You can choose because, you know, a lot of us work in global companies. A lot of things are happening that our colleagues are sharing over the night, right? And if you want to know or be up to date on what they are sharing, you can just say, you know, companies, and then all my company will actually come up over here.
If I may just a moment, we're 15 minutes past our original stop time.
I'm so sorry.
If people do need to leave or step out, then I hope we'll understand. Among those, I need to step out for 2 minutes.
Sure.
But I think if you're able to keep going, I think we can keep going. How much longer do we have this room? When do you need to set up for lunch? 12. So we've got 15 more minutes for those who do want to stay. But and if anybody needs to step out, then just quietly do so and tiptoe back if you need to.
Yeah, please. I mean, anyone needs to go, I completely understand. Thank you. Okay, so one cool thing that our team has done is called inmaps.linkedin.linkedinlabs.com. This is available for everybody. It basically is a graphical representation of your network, and it's different for every individual. It's just really fun, it's cool, and it will give you an idea of who you should reconnect with on your within your network. Now, if you have about anywhere more than 500 connections, you kind of forget when you met certain people, and this is one way to figure out who you should reconnect with for either a story you're working on or just some research you want to get done. I'm literally 5 minutes from being done. Okay, one last thing. You can also find your alumni through the connections tool. And the people that you've saved and not yet connected to will come in your saved contact. So if you go to filter by saved, remember when you did the profile search, the people search, when we searched for shoes and a lot of people, and then we came down to 7 people, if you didn't want to reach out to them, but just have them as someone you're interested in reaching out to at some point, you can actually just save that profile without reaching out to them. And that will turn up in your saved over here. Okay, with that, I sure hope my LinkedIn Labs InMap is loading. Are there any questions at all? Yes.
Sorry, how did we get to maps?
InMaps.linkedinlabs.com. I'll share that as my profile update, and you'll be able to access it. This is the URL. Can you see that? Oh, sorry. InMaps.linkedinlabs.com. Sorry, someone else had a question? Yes.
Yes, it's time to come and let you know how the premium account may help me.
Yeah.
Premium account.
So you get a bunch of in-mails. So what we believe is a normal professional who's doing like a coding job or I don't know, like a ad campaign or whatever, they don't need to reach out to anyone beyond a second degree. Yes. Yeah, is there any place I can write? Okay, let me put this down on my presentation. Does that work? So, you know, once a month we have the hack day or the in day at LinkedIn where the entire day is given back to our employees to do whatever they want to do. A bunch of engineers usually come together and they also have hack days around the same time where they come up with these cool apps or hacks that can be used on LinkedIn. One of them is this. And it's all lies on LinkedIn Labs. Like, you know, there are things like your connection timeline or Today, where you can actually have your smartphone read out your news to you. The Pulse that we talk about, we haven't really covered that yet, but real quick, in interests, you have Pulse. Pulse is nothing but your personalized trade magazine, if you will. So based on how you're logged in, you will already be following a few things or certain things will be sent to your profile as your news, and this is based on your network and based on your profile. But if you want to add more to this, you can actually choose from top posts or from our influencers, and we'll get to influencers in a bit, or you can actually choose which ones you want. So for example, if you write a lot on big data, you might want to follow big data as a topic and get information or articles sent to you on your homepage. And then we also have, where are the influencers? Right. That must be Jeff's post somewhere. Sometimes it's a little confusing. We change things quite a bit. Right, so I can actually choose to follow people over here.
Can we refuse some people to follow us?
I'm sorry?
Can you refuse people to follow you?
No, they're just following you.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. They can't message you, but... I mean, they're not connected to you, yeah. But they're following you. It's like Twitter, right? You've got another follower.
No, that's right. Yeah, same with Twitter. Yeah.
But it gives you an avenue to share your thoughts without having to connect with the person. And people get to learn from you without necessarily connecting with you, thereby diluting your network. Okay, we're pretty much done. Whenever you get a chance, please log into your Nmaps because it's kind of really cool and it's a lot of fun. And as you drill in, you can actually see the names and you click on it and it'll show you who else is connected to each other in your network. If this opens up right now, I can show it to you right now. But if you decide to share it on your LinkedIn profile, then only the picture gets saved and not the names. With that, I'm done. If you have any questions for me, let me know.
Just one quick question.
Yeah.
So from your maps, can you, at the same time when you identify somebody you work with, is easy just immediately ask for recommendations or something like that?
Through the Nmap?
Yeah.
No. This is just a graphical representation of your network. It gives you an idea of who you should be reconnecting with based on what you want to achieve. But for recommendations, you can actually choose to like ask for recommendations on your profile edit. Should I show that to you? Hold on. For the year. And oh, at the end of the year, all you need to do is do a quick refresher with my team and you'll get it for another year. We do this globally. And if you're already paying for the LinkedIn Pro account, we will cancel your subscription and we will give you the Pro account.
Well, then we're done, are we?
We're done.
So on behalf of FCC and all of us, I guess I should really thank you. It was extremely interesting, and I look forward to improving our all exposure. So thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you so much for having me here today. I'm still here for any questions if you might have, but we're officially done with this.
Thank you. You know the annoying thing with LinkedIn.